There we go. I'm Still Messy by Lola Young. And we thought that was a clean version, but never mind. It's 12 minutes past 12 o'clock, and it's the 4th of July. It's Friday. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to New Sound Radio. That was a nice wake-up call, wasn't it? That's a good choice. I know, it's not... It's one of those things when you think, yeah, it's okay, it looks quite good, yeah, and then all of a sudden they go a bit funny.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, nice tune, nice song. Apologies for that one, but welcome to New Sound Radio, Dessa, and thank you for taking time out and coming up here. And Shahid, good afternoon to you, and welcome back as well. Every Friday, Shahid's here with a new guest. And today you've got?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. Sat Sri Akal, Namaste, good afternoon, Assalamu Alaikum. It's a wonderful day to be here. To all our American friends, it's the 4th of July. And it's, you know, happy day for you guys.
Yeah,
you know, happy Independence Day to everyone who's American, affiliated to America. Loves America and has anything to do with America.
Trump's having a wonderful time today. He's going to be celebrating like mad.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
And also shout out to one of our great listeners. So I have a gentleman called Vijay.
Oh, yeah.
So Vijay is partially blind.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy, inspiration to a lot of people that we work with.
Yeah.
He plays cricket.
Oh.
You know, as you do when you're blind.
No, that's good. Some people have got very good accuracy of throwing the ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he also does sailing.
Oh, wow.
So for us, he's a huge inspiration.
The world is his oyster.
It is.
The ocean, yeah.
So Vijay, man, you're the best.
Congratulations. No, well done. Well done for achieving what you achieved.
Yeah, that's really, really important.
Yeah. I mean, people who lose their sight or lose a limb, they never give up. Some people just carry on all the way, you know, use other abilities in their body to do so.
Yes, and Vijay is one of those people. And there's so many people throughout our experiences, as you know, Tari, that are amazing. Well, everyone is amazing. Every single person is so unique.
Yeah.
We always say this, you know, because there was never anyone like them. There will never be anyone like them.
Yeah.
And in the future... There will never be anyone like them either.
No one can replace them.
It's unique.
Unique, yeah, one of a kind.
You know, God makes people unique.
Yeah, you know, he does. It's very true. Everyone's an individual. And I mean, there are a few people who think alike.
Yes.
You know, look alike.
Yes.
But you're still an individual. You know, you're your own.
You are
your own computer.
Absolutely.
With your own little processor in there. Processing things all day long, all night long, doing things the way your processor tells you. So you are a computer, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, which is amazing. And that's the most fascinating thing. And I think that in the future, there will be some machine or like AI is coming now. There will be an ability to read people's minds and not control it so much, maybe control it, but... It will be like they'll be able to display all your thoughts on a screen.
Oh, that's frightening. You're now talking 1984, I think.
Yeah, like Black Mirror.
Yeah, because I used to say back in the days, I mean, not that far back, I'm not that old, even if I am. But Star Trek was way ahead of his time with all that walkie-talkies, the screen, and the little memory chips they used to put in the computers and, you know, read like what we do now with your... You get your memory stick,
and all
of that. Things progress from there; they've become reality. Now, the reality now, or the thoughts now, will become reality in another 15, 20 years, or maybe 30 years. But that will happen. I think your thoughts will, because we are electronically controlled. Our pulses in our brain are electronics. They are, and they will be read by somebody who's going to create that little computer. You'd be like looking at people's thoughts. So no dirty thoughts, no dodgy thoughts, clean mind. It will be those three monkeys sitting there, speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil. What do you think, Dessa?
Yeah, Yep. I probably, yeah.
Yeah. What were you thinking about? Not that song again. Now, welcome to New Sound Radio.
Yeah, thank
as
you.
As you can see, it's very casual and very, you know, down-to-earth sort of topics we talk about. We don't intense anybody. We don't get anyone in a corner, ask a question which they can't answer. But welcome to New Sound Radio, and thank you for taking time out and joining us here today. And I think you know, it'll be a great pleasure to, because your colleagues have been on our radio a long time before, I think before COVID.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they used to come here, and then we had a regular slot. But it's good for you to join us today as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Right, tell us a little about your organisation, what you do, and how you help people.
Yeah, so I work for Newham Talking Therapies as a community assistant psychologist, and my role focuses on mental health promotion. And what I mean by that is we basically aim to provide, you know, residents of Newham,
right,
especially those who wouldn't normally seek support, with that, you know, knowledge about mental health and where they can seek support if needed. And we do this in, you know, a variety of ways. So we deliver wellbeing workshops in the community. So, for example, on topics like managing stress or dealing with worry and anxiety.
Right.
And we also build relationships with different organizations like Shahid's from Blossom Group.
Right.
And yeah, we provide staff training to said community organizations as well, so that they're better able to, you know, support the people that they work with.
Yeah.
And yeah, and through promoting our service and sharing psychoeducational posts as well, and we also share, you know, some well-being tips on social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do also do some work with people who have used our service before, and right, we basically use their experiences and feedback to improve our service. So yeah, that's a little bit right about me and my role.
Well, so it's literally, it's like hands-on.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite hands-on. It's really fun. Yeah, you get to talk with a lot of different people from different communities. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no, that sounds like fun. It is always. I think the people are losing the lack of communication and lack of, like, speaking to each other because of the phones and iPads and computers and the sort of work they do. They do tend not to talk to anybody. When you see people on the train before, everyone used to say good morning or hi, how are you, how are you doing, where are you going and all that. But now people have stopped sort of communicating with each other, and talking therapies, it does all that for you. You go out and reach to people, you talk to people, get them into that mode of speaking again in a way. Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with talking therapies as well, I think when people see you, you know, let's say doing like a community stall, for example, they see the blue lanyard and they think, oh, we don't want to talk to them. But what we want to do is, like, you know, show people that we are approachable, and then you can have a conversation with us, and
you know
that we're not something to be scared of.
A lot of time people do think that. I think, do you think that's become like that, that people stop talking to each other
I would
as
say
much
so.
As they used to do before? Do you think that's, did you see that? Have you noticed that people are not talking as much as they used to? Or
maybe, you know, these days it can be easier to isolate yourselves, especially, you know, with like phones and gadgets and such. It can be easier to, you know, pull out your phone and I guess have a little scroll on Facebook or Instagram instead of, you know, talking to a person next to you on the train. Because I know up north, I grew up up north actually, and right, I would say people there are friendlier, but when I moved here to London...
very cold.
Yeah. If you said hi to someone on the train, they'd sort of be like, oh, who's this?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
That's what I call them, what are you looking at? It's true, up north people are friendly. You know, when you go out in the morning, evening, afternoon, it's a good afternoon. Up here, nobody says anything. They just look at you and look down. You know, it is. London is become very, very cold, and it's become worse now, because you don't know if the other person speaks English or not as well. That's the other scenario now. They look at you and they think, you know, oh, is he after me? Or is she after me or whatever?
Yeah, everyone's on the go, aren't they? Very fast-paced city.
Very, very fast.
Yeah, I find that even when I'm just like having a little walk or a stroll, I'm just like, why am I speeding up? I've got nowhere important to be. I just need to enjoy my Sunday.
Yeah, you've been programmed.
Yeah.
Now that's what happens. It's true. But how do people get in touch with you? Do people get referred to you? Or people, you know, get referred by the doctor, or do they come to you by themselves?
So there's like you know, multiple ways that you can refer to Neum Talking Therapies. So you can give us a call, or you can also self-refer online via a self-referral form, or you can ask your GP or another health professional to refer you.
Right. Okay. And you're basically just like a talking therapy, like what he says, that's what it is. You don't prescribe medicine, or you don't say, you know, you've got to go on this or anything like that. Is there a medical side of this therapy as well, or
no? So for medication, it would be the GP who would do that. But our service, no, we don't prescribe medications. Yeah, it is purely talking therapies. Yeah, we also do have some employment support as well available for people using the service, which is right. really good as well.
Okay, so what is like a common mental health myth that was shared with you, where people have said, is there anything which you can share with us?
Yeah, so I would say one of the most common ones that I've heard, because, you know, during community events, people often share their experiences about mental health. Yeah. It opens up that conversation, and a recurring topic is, you know, beliefs about mental health that stop them from seeking support.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most common ones is, you know, you have to be crazy to use mental health services.
Yeah.
And I wanted to break this myth down into different parts, because there's quite a few things to address. So I guess using the word crazy, it sort of suggests that, you know, high level of need and only needing to seek support when, you know, your mental health's at its worst, which is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
So, and I think talking therapies is, you know, the service itself, it's sort of like that first port of call. So if you do go to your GP for mental health difficulties, you know, it's very likely they will refer you to a talking therapy service, because we're like the first port of call.
Okay.
So we're a mild to moderate mental health service. And what that essentially means is we help with things like anxiety, depression, or even things that can lead to a mental health difficulty, like sleep difficulties, or, you know, chronic stress, or adjusting to a long-term health condition. We can also help with things like that. And I think that shows that you don't need to be hanging on by a thread to use the service, and nor should you wait, you know, wait to be.
It's amazing. Like, you know, I went to a seminar the other day about sleep disorder. Mm-hmm. That also affects your health and your mental health as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Physical health and mental health, you know, they really do go hand in hand, and they can affect each other. You know, if your physical health, you know, takes a turn, then so does your mental health. And it's all very interconnected.
Yeah, it's amazing how that is. And how many people do you treat or see weekly or daily? Is there a number which is it going up or anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't be able to give a number, but I know that it has been, you know, steadily on a rise as well. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, since COVID as well, there's been a rise in, you know, mental health difficulties and that, yeah.
So people, like, when they come to you, how do you analyze them? How do you say that you need to go to this section, or like when you want to eliminate or refer them to a higher a consultant or something, somebody like that? So who assesses that? Is there a team which does all of those things with you?
So I can provide some insight into what happens if you refer yourself. Yeah, so, you know, once you submit, you know, that self-referral form, if you ask your GP to refer you to talking therapies, what essentially happens is someone gets back to you within, they aim to do it within 2 weeks to offer you an assessment.
Yeah.
And an assessment typically takes about 45 to 50 minutes.
Right.
And you basically sit with a clinician, and they go through, you know, things that you might have been struggling with and how we can support. And if you know your difficulties that you're experiencing, they're suitable to the service, then you know, we're happy to, you know, see you. But of course, you know, if there's other needs there that need you know, addressing first, then we can also signpost people onwards to other, you know, community organizations or services.
So how many organizations do you work with? I mean, just off the top of your head, is there loads of which are
Yeah,
that's not just the Newham borough, all the surrounding boroughs as well, I suppose.
I think that is some interconnection between, you know, other NHS services, but mostly we work with organisations within Newham. Yeah. Because at Newham Talking Therapies, we only see people who have a GP in Newham, so they're typically from Newham.
Now, I know Newham, and we used to get, like I said, on a regular basis, the talking therapists used to come, and some of the individuals that used to come for the therapy, even they came on board and explained how it's helped them, how you guys have helped them, which was amazing how, you know, just by talking to somebody and just being guided how to control your intake of food or sleep or just be behavior amongst other people, how that can help. You know, it, in a way, they were like retrained how to live their lives.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that people, that I wish people knew about therapy, is that, you know, there's this expectation that if you go there, you know, you're just going to be talking about your feelings, and that's absolutely not the case. Like, the first line of sort of support that we lean towards in talking therapies is called cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it focuses on those, you know, maybe unhelpful, you know, thoughts or behaviors that you that keep you stuck in these, you know, unhelpful cycles and keep the difficulties going. It's actually quite practical.
Suppose if you look at it that way, if somebody who's stuck in that little cycle, mm-hmm. and then you explain, like an expert explains to them, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to get out of that circle, it's quite easy for the individual who's stuck there thinking, oh, how am I going to get out of this, how am I going to sort myself out. You know, they don't think the positive side, but they keep thinking the same thing over and over again, and which makes it worse, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, the way that we aim to break individuals out of that cycle is to, you know, sort of target those unhelpful thoughts that they might be having, or like the behaviors that that keep them in that unhelpful cycle, and then hopefully that will make them feel better.
Right. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll come back and talk some more. Nessa, thank you very much for all that information. We're talking to Nessa and Shahid. Nessa is from the Talking Therapies in Newham. So if you've got any questions, you can text them on 07961-387-787 or call the studio number 0208-472-9292.
Advertise on New Sound Radio. For further details, telephone 020-8472-9994.
Hey, seems like you're doing really well for yourself.
Thanks. Just moved into a brand new building which has been fully renovated and modernised. It's close to the city and close to all major transport links. It's really helped my business and I'm getting new clients every day. It's just fantastic.
I could do with a new office. I'm in the middle of nowhere and my clients are struggling to visit me.
Why don't you give Nile Business Centre a call?
I'm sure then venue, we do it all. Give us a call and tell us about your special day on 0208-554-462. Let us at Vijay's Varasat Events make your event memorable.
आपके बिजनेस को चार चांद लगाने के लिए आज ही न्यू साउंड रेडियो को फोन करें. फोन 020-8472-9994. That's 020-8472-9994.
It's 12:31 and we've got Dessa from Newham Talking Therapies and Shahid joining us as well, as he does every Friday.
No, thank you so much. This subject is so important because, you know, when in our community, especially when we start talking about talking therapies, and they're thinking, first of all, we don't have time to talk. So that's quite a difficult one. Let me ask Dessa a few questions. The first one, Dessa, is what we find, particularly if we break up our community between men and women. So what we find is women might have more opportunity or want more to talk about this, whereas men are very reluctant to talk about anything. How are you finding the uptake of men, and how do you deal with their reluctance to talk about things?
Yeah, so, you know, actually, you know, we know from statistics that men are actually less likely to access, you know, talking therapies than women. And, you know, that can be due to loads of different things. But I think mainly it is that belief that, you know, maybe, you know, talking is seen as like something that women do. But whereas for men, it's not, which is absolutely not the case. You know, if you seek support as a man, it's definitely not a sign of weakness, which I've heard, you know, a lot. Going around the community, which is not true, because therapy is for everyone. But I think it's also, you know, phrases like, you know, man up and take it like a man, you know, even things like that that we've grown up with, and people, you know, I guess throw around so lightly, you know, it can perpetuate those ideas that men should deal with problems themselves.
Yeah, so we see that a lot, because obviously I'm a guy, so one of the things is that we we're always told we've got to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
We're told we've got to be a man. We've got to be a father. We're not the one who should be crying.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be the one who breaks down when things get difficult.
Yeah.
Especially in that South Asian sort of culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very difficult, because if you behave differently, it's seen as something, as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that side of it? Because obviously that's quite a difficult side of it. And it also comes in with another question, but around the cultural competency. Because you're from Philippines?
Yes, yes. I am. Yes. Originally, yes.
So you can understand this. So people from mm-hmm. different communities perceive things differently.
They do, yeah.
So how does talking therapy is able to deal with that?
Yeah, so with sort of that, you know, concern around, you know, that therapy won't be able to understand people's cultural differences, you know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, therapists aren't there to judge your cultural difference. They will work with you to understand how culture shapes your life and how it relates to the current situation or current difficulty that you're facing. So, you know, they're not there to impose their way of life on you. They try to create a safe space for their clients to discuss their cultural background and beliefs and experiences. And, you know, that they're also very mindful of potential communication barriers, and they try to actively work to ensure that, you know, you have a clear understanding of what's going on, because therapy is seen as, you know, a collaborative thing. It's not something being done to you. And therapists, you know, they will treat you like you are the expert in yourself. They're just there to, you know, sort of guide you. But yeah, one of the other ways that they, you know, sort of, with that cultural competence again, is, you know, they might also give you like a an opportunity to maybe, you know, have interpreters as well, if you feel more comfortable expressing yourself in your mother tongue, because some people do, if they experience something in their culture and it happens in their language, they might feel more comfortable talking about it in their mother tongue. So that's something that we can do as well. We do also have multilingual therapists. And on a therapist side, you know, they do some work themselves to regularly reflect on their, you know, how their own cultural biases may affect their work with clients from different backgrounds.
No, that is very important. And one of the things that we find, and you know, Tari, we can you know, relate to this, which is really important, is when it comes to different communities.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the situation. So let's say it's domestic violence as a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what we find, particularly when someone's going through domestic violence, they speak a lot of silence. Okay. So people from different communities, from our own communities, we can understand some of that more cultural difficulty of actually saying something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you, as a professional, you're dealing with this type of person as well,
mm-hmm.
who's not able to talk about their anxieties, because sometimes, you know, when you're going through things,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you're now being referred to talking therapies,
mm-hmm.
I might turn up and say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think that's the other thing about therapy as well. It's that readiness and sort of like your understanding and expectations of it. But, you know, I think with therapy, it's really important that people go when, you know, when they feel ready, or, you know, maybe if they don't feel quite ready, it's really important to reach for those, you know, your community as well, and, you know, the people that you trust around you. So even that, or like, for example, making sure to make time for yourself. If you really don't feel like therapy and, you know, it's something that you're still considering, it's really important to sort of do those things as well.
Yeah. Yes. But do you think, you know, like what Shahid's saying about different cultural differences and all that,
mm-hmm.
that's why it's very important to mingle with other communities and mingle with other individuals in the country or where you're living in, to learn their culture as well. You know, you can't cut yourself off and just stick in your little bubble and think, you know, this is me, this is us. Do you think that's important as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we even try and do that in our service. You know, we're trying to, you know, train our therapists to work with different cultures. And we've actually done that in loads of, you know, different ways. Like recently, actually, we've actually trained therapists to work with people who might be experiencing, like, low mood. And they actually use teachings from the Quran, for example, to help them through that. So Yeah, absolutely. We should be trying to embrace other people's cultures and, you know, work with that because it's a strength.
Because mentally it's very stimulating to learn about other cultures. You know, you're learning something new. You know, and a lot of the time I think the religious leaders, they need to push that. I know there's groups which are religious groups which are sort of bonding people together. From different communities, what they call faith groups.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they, you know, they're the ones who should be encouraging individuals at their gatherings and say, you know, you need to learn, you need to not amalgamate, but you need to interact with different people.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Tari. I think one of the things that you're alluding to is obviously some sort of integration.
Yeah.
And ideally, I mean, you know what we're finding is, yes, you're providing that particular service. So this is a question I just thought of just now. Mm-hmm. So as part of that training that you might be providing to organizations like us, as Blossom, might also be, you might be doing this already, so I'll ask you to answer it, is what Tari alluded to, those faith organizations, and actually reaching out to them and actually training them.
That could be really good, yeah, because there's actually quite a common myth that, you know, if you, you know, get professional treatment for mental health, you can't also rely on your religious or spiritual practices. Yeah. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's absolutely not true. You know, therapy encourages anything that has a positive impact.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they understand that people have those spiritual and religious practices that help them to find that meaning and purpose and navigate life.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, I know that people draw strength from their faith to help manage stress and anxiety.
Well, you always say, you always do that whenever there's a problem in the house. Oh God, you know, I wish I could. Oh God, God comes into it, you know, regardless of whatever background you come from. That word God is there. So in your mind, you know, that you're asking the superior being or whatever he is or she is, that you're asking for their help. We're talking therapies. I think if you guys guide them in the right way, and which you do, it could solve the matter.
Yeah, yeah. And just to add as well, I think it's important to note that, you know, therapists will adapt their practice to incorporate your beliefs as well. And it is, you know, and it will work alongside you to incorporate this religious spiritual practice into your therapy, if that is something that you want to do. And yeah, you know, our service and NHS in general is striving to make services as inclusive as possible. So, yeah, as I've said, our therapists have recently received that training adapted to Islamic faith, which is really good.
Yeah. No, that's good. It should be done with all the faiths, I think.
Absolutely. Cultural competency is so important.
Yeah, yeah, because individuals human beings are human beings. They're all the same, regardless of the background, whether religious or whatever they believe in, if they believe in something or not. But human beings, the mind is still the same, isn't it? So, that's fantastic. And now, what other sort of ways do you get yourself about, and do you do like workshops, and do you do like go out into the community events and stuff like that to make yourself known?
Yeah, we do. So we try to make, you know, links with those community organizations in Newham, and we sort of meet with them, and if they want to do a little partnership, we sort of, you know, think about, you know, expectations from like a little collaboration together. But we do that through like workshops, or some people will ask us to come in to do like mental health stalls as well.
Like
university stalls as well, like when they have freshers. But
we
tend to try and diversify.
They need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can definitely relate to that. So Dessa often comes to our center.
Yeah.
And first of all, we've got lots of people from different communities, but particularly from the Punjabi and Pakistani community. And they look at Dessa, what's this girl doing here? And after a period of time, they realize that it's quite important, because they're not used to that. They're thinking, oh, talking therapies, and especially when they use the word therapy or anyone from the NHS, they're quite frightened.
Yeah.
But Dessa covers it really well. And, you know, the thing is, because of her experience and everything like that. And the other thing, Dessa, let's be honest, you look like them as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that definitely helps. Yeah.
You know, that sort of, is it because it's a barrier? And a lot of the women that you worked with our center, is they say, oh yeah, that Dessa girl, she's like a daughter now. She's part of our family. Where is she? We haven't seen her for a little while. So that's, I think that's very, very important. because when you're doing that work, you have to be in the community. And that's very, very important. What we found with our work is, yes, you can do the stall, and that on the stall they'll see you once in a blue moon.
Mm-hmm.
But having that more interconnectivity, if you like, you know,
and coming in regularly, yeah,
and you're part of the family almost.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's really important.
Yeah, it's a lovely and very welcoming group that you have, Shahid. So yeah, it's definitely easy to
it goes with the know, name.
Go and talk. Yes. Yeah,
very much. Yeah. Yeah. We've had a couple of phone calls. I forgot to mention, but I thought I'd mention them as well. Mrs. Call. She phoned and she said that she's had the therapy, and when I said, you know, somebody came along who's had the therapy and they were really, really pleased with the outcome, she goes, she's getting along very well with her family. Just wanted to say thank you to Newham Talking Therapies.
Oh, ooh. Lovely.
Mrs. Call, K-A-U-L.
Oh, nice to hear we could help.
Yeah, Mr. Channa just phoned as well, and he said, are talking therapies just available in Newham? Are they in the other boroughs as well?
Yeah, each borough will have a talking therapy service. So from the top of my head, there's, you know, Tower Hamlets talking therapies, right. Redbridge. Yeah, they're everywhere. Each borough will have one, yes.
Oh, brilliant. Mr. Dalchana, thank you very much for your call. And that's absolutely fantastic. If you do need the therapy for yourself or for your family member or a friend, you can go online and check all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent, brilliant. We haven't got much time left now, so anything else you'd like to add in, Dessa?
I think recently there's been a lot of discussion around NHS waiting times, so I think that would be really good to sort of discuss, because there is that belief that, you know, if people refer themselves for therapy, they're going to have to wait years for that to happen. But I can't speak for other NHS services, but I know for Noom Talking Therapy specifically, you know, when you refer yourself, you know, within 2 weeks, someone will, you know, aim to call you back and to gather more information, determine if your needs can be supported. And yeah, they typically aim to see clients within 90 days for their first therapy session. Okay. Yeah.
That's really important, because what we normally find is anything related to NHS is like a long waiting list.
Yeah,
you know, lots of people get better by the time they're seen.
Mm, yeah, and I think it's important to say as well that, you know, whilst you are put on a waiting list, this is the case for our service. I'm not sure if it's the case for other services, but you will have access to, you know, other online workshops and resources whilst you wait, so that you're not, you know, left alone whilst waiting for that therapy.
Okay,
to come.
So things are happening whilst you're waiting.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
that's very, very, very positive.
Yeah,
you alluded to this earlier about that taboo thing. Oh, I'm going to therapies. I'm talking about things. Yeah. How when you go back to your family, and obviously they're saying, "Oh, you're doing this." People struggle with that, because obviously they're going back and they're saying, "I'm with a therapist." That means something different. For example, in Pakistan, I was. Back in 1989, when I got married, in 1989, and they would say, oh, number 5 bus is going to come for you. And what that normally meant is you go mad,
yeah.
And someone's going to come and take you away.
Okay. Oh, dear.
So,
Number 5 bus.
And in London, we see a lot of number 5 buses. So please don't make the connection here.
Oh, dear.
But it's because people have that perception of therapy, and there must be something wrong with them.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's very, very important to mention as well.
Yeah.
Do you come across that a lot when it's, you know, that taboo?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There is this belief that people have where, even before I started, you know, studying psychology myself, you know, I'm actually going back soon to do my doctorate, but way before this, you know, before when I was thinking about my A-levels, I did think with psychology, you know, well, with what I was told and my sort of culture, you know, it wasn't okay to seek help, because then, you know, you'd be, you know, medicated against your will and taken away, you know, which is absolutely not the case. And people think it's going to leave like a permanent mark on you and your life.
Yeah.
Which isn't true. So there are, you know, some things that I wanted to touch on. Some people are concerned that, you know, that it might, you know, affect their employment.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's no legal obligation for talking therapies to inform your workplace about therapy. So, you know, but if required, we can actually provide you with a letter to give to your employer if you need time off for appointments. That's the only time we'd ever get involved, really. But it's really up to you whether you want to tell your family or friends. But it's confidential. And the only time we would break that confidentiality is if you said something that made us worried for your safety or someone else's safety. So it's 100% confidential.
Excellent. You know, people do think that way nowadays because it's so delicate, the situations with the job situations as well. That people think that if you're under some sort of therapy, you're not going to get a job. You know, people ask you a billion one question: are you fit for this, fit for that? Or they make any excuse just not to employ you. So people do get worried. So that taboo is out of the window, so to say that it doesn't affect your mental ability or to do your work.
Yeah, and just to add as well, you know, no wonder people think that way because of the media representation on mental health. Yeah. So, you know, lots of studies show that, you know, media provides like a very dramatic and, you know, distorted, you know, image of mental illness. Like,
they do, yeah.
Even a quick Google search of a psychiatric hospital, I was met with things like straitjackets, padded cells, and like, even like, if you see someone like on a show and they're getting therapy, you see the people around them reacting to them negatively, or they might be feared. So, you know, even those things perpetuating those ideas about mental health. Yeah.
Do you think that the media has made that into like a situation where people think that way? You know, like we are talking here, we're not portraying anything like that. We're just saying it's the norm. You can get over it. You can get rid of all the anxieties in your body and your mind, you know, by controlling yourself, by just talking and speaking and getting, like they said, get a load off your mind. You know, it's pretty straightforward. Would you say, I mean, in a nutshell, how would you explain your therapies, and how would you explain, like, individuals who've had the therapy in a brief way?
So is this like, you know, the types of therapies that we cover within...
What you've done and how easy was it for individuals to sort of have the therapy and walk away laughing and thinking, yep, I'm okay now, there's nothing wrong with me, in a nutshell.
Difficult, you know, question.
So with therapy,
as a psychologist, I'm sure you can handle that.
With therapy, it's sort of like something that, you know, it happens in the moment, of course, but a lot of the work is actually what people don't know is therapy is actually quite difficult because you do a lot of personal work on yourself, and once those therapy sessions are done, there's actually, you know, an expectation, it's on the individual to keep practicing those strategies that they learned in therapy to keep themselves well. So I think that's something to remember as well about therapy, that, you know, once you've had it, you know, it's important to adjust your expectations that you're not going to be, you know, necessarily like fixed, but now that you've been provided with those tools and strategies to help you, you know, conquer those difficulties you were experiencing before, it is a work in progress, you know.
So basically the thought has been put in your mind to say, this is what you need to do.
And progress isn't linear as well. You know, if you're finding it rough at the beginning, you know, be kind to yourself.
Don't push yourself too much.
Almost seems like a process of what we might call stepping stones.
And
that's really, really important, because to reach the goal, you have to go through many things, and you take each step at a time, I suppose. That's probably the good way to think about it.
And it's not linear, so you need to expect yourself to have bad days and good days.
Normal people have it. We all have good days and bad days. Depending, they said, I must have got out of the wrong side of the bed, or something happened, a bad dream. You know, everything affects you, but it's mind control. It's mind over matter, as they say. If you control your thoughts, you can control your mind, control your behavior. Maybe, I don't know, it might make you a normal person, would you say that?
Make you feel better,
Make you feel better mentally, You know, it does, mind does play a lot of games with individuals, it does.
The mind is a powerful thing, honestly,
That's what I was saying in the beginning, it's your little computer telling you, you put the command in and the action is done by you.
I wish we were all computers, but I think because we're human beings, one of the things that we always suffer is how to deal with things, because there's no book of life. No one gives us a book of life, so we all struggle.
We write our own book.
We do, but the thing is, you know, when you're in a situation, We've been there, Tari. All of us have been there. When no one is there to help,
yeah,
it's good to know that there is talking therapies, there is someone to go and talk to, vent some of your frustrations and let someone look at it objectively. Sometimes what we tend to do is I'll rely on people in the family, and they're not, sometimes they can be objective, let's be honest, but most times they're not, because they're part of the situation, and it's very, very difficult then to deal with it, because we'll go and ask my dad, oh, dad, tell me, and dad is going through his own things, you know, sometimes it's not that easy.
That's what they call family.
Of course.
Yeah, you get all sorts of flavors in a family. You know, so a lot of people look at their friends. They go out to their friends and talk to them. You're more comfortable talking to a friend than family member. So you get all of that. You know, this is the way life is, and this is the way life carries on. But talking therapies is another link in our lives which has come along and is there to help you. So if you need any help, go into Google, or when you're sitting there scrolling through your phone, just have a look at talking therapies in your borough. So they'll be able to help you with your issues. Should say, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking time out and coming here. And I hope you enjoyed your little conversation with us.
I did. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Anytime you want to come back again, please feel free. Like we're always here for the community. And Shahid, I'm sure he'll book you in his little diary.
Definitely. You know, everyone is welcome. And this is, for us, I mean, you know, being on New Sound Radio, it's our family station.
Yeah.
We come here to talk about things. As I was saying to Dessa earlier, you know what happens is we make mistakes, we talk about things, we have some fun.
Yeah.
And that's the most important things. And we learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thank you on behalf of us as well. Thank you so much for coming along.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dessa, thank you from Talking Therapies and Blossom, Shahid.
Thank you.
We won't see you next week, but we see you the following week.
I look forward to that. It's going to be fun.
It will be, definitely. Yeah. And Dessa, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
And take care. Bye-bye from me. And bye-bye from?
From me.
Yeah. Here's your favorite song. Are you going to sing along with it?
I might do.
Oh, I better turn the mics off then. Or should I say turn them up?
No, I just listen.
All right. Well, take care. Bye-bye. And coming up next is Pargan with a Punjabi program. He'll be entertaining you. He's going to be dedicating a show to somebody very, very famous who passed away a few years back. So, Pargan, on next from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock with DPD, Tamak Punjab Di. Nazara de de, mere mehboob tujhe, mere mohabbat ki qasam. सकती नहीं आंखें वो सुहाना मंजर जब तेरा हुस्न मेरे इश्क से टकरा